Coming to this panel, just to kick things off, I'm your moderator. My name is Jennifer Heddle. I'm a senior editor of fiction at Lucasfilm. And the reason this panel came about is a few months ago, thank you, I emailed Mary Franklin and said, in what I thought was a very smooth way, like, you know what would be a good idea for a panel this year? You know, share this panel about. I went on and on about, you know, the effect that this character has had for so many years, and she's in a new movie, and so it's, you know, a relevant topic again, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it was really just my way of saying there should be a panel about Princess Leia, because she's awesome. And within 5 minutes, Mary wrote back and said, oh, that's a great idea, so give me a panel description and your moderator bio, and we'll just get that going. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I have to do this?
So that's why I'm sitting here instead of with you guys. That's really the only reason. But I'm so happy that I've gotten a panel of really wonderful and talented women here to join me. And so I thought I would just let them each introduce themselves.
Hey, I'm Catherine Tabor. I'm an actress, and in the Star Wars universe, I've had the honor of playing a lot of characters, most significantly Padme in the Clone Wars. And I've gotten to play Princess Leia several times in the Force Unleashed and Detours, which you haven't seen yet, but I really hope you get to see. And last, and yesterday in Smuggler's Bounty, here, live.
I am an illustrator. I've done a ton of Star Wars art, and most recently been working with DC Comics and IDW on Orphan Black and Wonder Woman 77.
My name is Katie Cook. I am a comic book artist and writer. Besides the plethora of Star Wars stuff that I've done over the years, I also work on my comic, Gronk Monster Story. I work on IDW's and Hasbro's My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Ponies! And I do a lot of stuff for Marvel.
Hi, everyone. My name is Rain Roberts. I'm a creative executive at Lucasfilm and also a member of the Lucasfilm Story Group. And I'm helping to develop all of our new movies, including The Force Awakens and Rogue One. I also help develop Star Wars Rebels, and I work a lot with Jen Heddle because I help look at everything that publishing is doing and make sure it lines up with what the movies and on the show.
An honor to be on this panel with so many cool women. This is great. My name is Christy Golden. I'm an author, and I've written three books for the Fate of the Jedi series for Star Wars, and I have the forthcoming Dark Disciple, which is also about another very strong female character.
So I wanted to, you know, keep this pretty informal. You know, I did draw up a list of questions, and we'll just kind of, you know, see where they take us. And I definitely want to hear from you guys as well. So I just thought I would start off asking our panelists, you know, when did you first see Star Wars? How old were you? And, you know, did Leia make a particular impression on you at that time? And if so, what was it?
My answer to this is always kind of embarrassing because I'm so engrossed in the Star Wars universe now, but I don't have this amazing memory of the first time I saw the movie or any of the movies. It just seems like it was always there and always around, and those were the toys that everyone was playing with, and I knew the characters really well, and you know, like many a young girl, like I absolutely just loved Princess Leia from the beginning. I loved that she had two boys to choose from. I don't know why, I just thought that was really like, well, she can pick whichever one she likes. That was really exciting, because usually there's like one prince, and you know. So yeah, it's just kind of always been there.
I was five. My family went to the Century 21 Theater and saw it in Cinerama. And that was it. It was sold. The second that chip blew over my head, I was like, oh, this is amazing. So yeah. And then I watched it religiously every time it came up on HBO. But yeah, Princess Leia was just She was the coolest because she didn't take anything from anyone. She was great in that film. It was nice because she was the princess, but she wasn't the princess that has to be rescued. She was saving everybody else's skins. It was great.
When I was a kid, I actually thought the movie Spaceballs was Star Wars. And that's what I thought everybody was talking about when I said that they loved Star Wars. And I was like, it's funny, but I don't know what all those words are. And it was a little bit longer than probably acceptable as a child until my brother was like, you are an idiot. And then I watched A New Hope with him on VHS. And I loved it, and, you know, I grew up in a nerd family with, you know, my mom putting up a Star Trek-themed Christmas tree every year since I've been a kid. And I defect being a Star Wars fan, and she'll forgive me one day. But, you know, since I saw A New Hope, just probably around when I was 9, maybe a little earlier, it's just been that, like, gold standard of storytelling and science fiction in my life. And, you know, Leia's always been a really prominent part of that. But that Spaceball thing is totally true. I didn't make
I had my answer was similar to Kat's. For the first answer is that I just remember Star Wars was always there. I was on having another conversation earlier this week, another panel, and my earliest memory of Star Wars is actually at daycare, like being a kid, and it just being on at the daycare, like Empire Strikes Back, and it just being kind of matter of fact, it's Star Wars, and there's Ewoks, and there's this princess, and this cowboy guy, and this guy with the lightsaber, and this Darth Vader dude, and just was always there. And so I also don't have a big memory, but it's just part of the DNA of my childhood growing up in the 80s. So that's my first memory. And then in terms of Princess Leia, I just remember, of course, loving her hair and wanting to emulate that, and I finally got to. I was in a play at some point, and one of the costumes you could have was like the cinnamon bun hairstyle, and I totally went for it. And then I feel like I finally got to be her a little bit.
I have a few years on you guys, and so in this case, it's really good because that meant that I was one of the first wave to ever see Star Wars. I was 13 years old, and I went to the Buckingham Theater in Arlington, Virginia, which now is sadly post office. And I sat down, and my world changed. And for the entire rest of the summer, my mom would drop me off at the first showing and pick me up at around like 7 or 9. And I'd just watch it, and I'd go back on Sunday. And then the next Saturday, I'd go Sunday. And I'm sure she's going, yes. She's occupied. Leia was amazing to me, and I think let's take a minute and just appreciate the fact that this was almost 40 years ago. And we see a young woman who is not just a princess, because that's nothing new, but she's a senator. A woman was a senator. And the world has changed so much that that is no longer shocking, thank goodness. But we have to realize what kind of a character we were being given in the era. I mean, this was the era of disco and, you know, Saturday Night Fever and things like that. And so it was amazing. And I also really identified with her because I happened to be the exact same height as Carrie Fisher. And suddenly that was a cool thing. So, because then I'm the same height as Princess Leia. And that always made me feel better.
Yeah, I mean, she was definitely an inspiration for short brunettes everywhere, I think. As opposed to, like, you know, the other icons of the time, like Farrah Fawcett or Charvelette or women like that. And what you just said sort of, you know, leads into my next question, which is, you know, growing up, I assume that all of us, you know, at least grew up as fans of media, you know, maybe of science fiction in particular, maybe not, but, you know, regardless, what was it about Leia's character that really stood out to you, whether particularly in science fiction or just overall? And, you know, certainly compared to other female characters, but even just to, you know, to anyone, to any characters in that genre.
I think for me, it was what I was saying before, is like, it was the first time for me, granted, I mean, I was 5, but it was the first time I remember a female character that wasn't the one to be saved. Like, initially in that movie, she wasn't, like, the one that everyone was trying. I mean, granted, yes, you were supposed to save her, but she took charge and of kind of her own thing, and she didn't take anyone's stuff.
Because yeah, I didn't know what they were doing.
Right, exactly. So she was like, no, we're just going to go this way. And for me, I thought that was great. She wasn't just cowering in the corner saying, oh, somebody help me kind of thing. And that was refreshing for me.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, and I have nothing against Pink. I actually really like Pink. But there was this idea, and not the musician, I mean the color. There was this idea that, you know, princesses were sparkly and had tiaras, and they were in a tower somewhere waiting for someone to come help them. And so it's this really amazing character that I wish we had more of today, because girls need this message that you need to be the, you know, the master of your own life. You need to be the one who gets what you need done. And she was just such this great example of that, and not asking for permission, not asking for acceptance, just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And, you know, watching that made you feel like, wow, that's really cool, and she's doing that, and I wanna be like that, and watching how it made the men around her go, oh, okay, you know.
Right, it's like even in the scene where she's with Tarkin and Vader, she's head up, chin up, and yep. You know, even as they're about to destroy her home planet, she's just stoic.
Yeah,
and,
she's
you know,
let them see her.
Right.
Break.
Yeah. Right.
I have a comment on that. I did a book signing once, and the 501st came to support it, which is awesome. And a friend of mine was in the Vader outfit, and he had an amazing costume, and he had the, you know, and I'm standing up, and he's behind me, and that's going on, and I'm a hot, same kind of scary fisher, and I'm like, you know what? Vader's really scary. When you think about it for a minute, just having that presence behind you and that breathing. And that scene is remarkable for that, because there's not one bit of fear on her face. You know, she's just right there looking right up at them. And they never tried to hide her height. They didn't have her on a box so that we didn't notice it. They played it up. They used it. They made her look small and vulnerable to show that she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for me, it's, you know, when you're a kid and you're so invested in this movie, you know, I have a lot of great memories of playing Star Wars with my brother. You know, I'm sure everybody has that, like, mm-hmm. You pull out the ottoman from the couch, and that's the cockpit, and, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, playing with my brother and his friends, I got to be Leia, because I was the girl, and I wasn't stuck in the closet waiting to be saved. I was an active participant,
right.
You know, in playing, you know, playing with the boys, and it was like, all right, here's your blaster.
Mm-hmm.
But not, all right, here, why don't you hold the cocker spaniel while pretending it's Chewbacca? His name was Bentley. But no, it's not. Getting more confident as a kid because of kind of being thrust into that role for, you know, 4 summers in a row. And it's a very memorable moment in my childhood and almost formative of how I interact with people, because it was like, oh, if I pretend to be Princess Leia, I'm a badass. There's a little bit of chin-chucking going on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I feel really lucky to have grown up in the 80s when I did, when Princess Leia was, as I was saying before, just there. It was a very, she's a very matter of fact character. And that was my first understanding of how women were portrayed in films. So it wasn't so much for me as a revelation as it was like, that's how women are in films. They have agency, they can stand up to evil guys and talk back. And in the 80s, we started to see more and more characters like that. So it feels like a privilege in retrospect to have grown up that way and not have to adjust anything. So as a young woman, I felt like I could do anything from the start. And I know that, you know, like as you were saying, 10 years before or 5 years before, even that wasn't such the case. And it's nice to see it continue to evolve. And as we have with more women characters in our movies now, like that's because we all grew up seeing female characters do that, and it's really easy for us to say the women can be leads in these movies.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there's definitely something to that. I mean, I saw Star Wars for the first time. I guess I was about the same age as you, Kat. I was almost 5. And, she was just another one of the characters to me. You know, right there with Han and Luke, and the only difference was that it was really cool that I could buy a Barbie doll that looked like her. You know, because I already loved Barbies, and I loved, you know, Disney, and Cinderella, and Snow White, and you know, I was so excited that I could have this again, brunette, there's the theme, doll to go along with my Barbies. And, you know, Katie, like you said, and knowing that she was also this character who could just do whatever she wanted. And I think that it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I really appreciated, you know, just how different and interesting she was. You know, it's kind of like Rain said, I just kind of accepted that that's who she was, and, you know, maybe part of that was just because I was a smart ass too, and of course that's how women act. I don't know.
You're also a New Yorker, so.
That's right. Like, of course women yell at men, that's just like my daily life. but, yeah, I think that we were definitely lucky to have that, and then just, you know, when you were talking, it also made me think of similar franchise Indiana Jones with Marion in Raiders of the Lost Ark, which was, you know, very, very soon after that. So we kind of had in succession these, you know, two really, you know, awesome take-no-prisoners kind of brunettes, which I think was really great for our generation. And to kind of extrapolate from that, Katie, you alluded to this, but, you know, I was just going to ask, like, if growing up, if Princess Leia actually did have an emotional resonance for you. You know, like, for me, similar to what you said, she was kind of this, like, touchstone for me of, you know, dealing with adversity and, you know, just following what you believe in and being tough. You know, did any of you feel that way as well?
Yeah, I think Katie was the one girl in the group of friends with my brother and all of our friends, and I was always Princess Leia, but and like Katie, I wasn't, you know, stuck in the closet waiting. I was in a different closet, but that's a whole other story. But I didn't get out of that one until I was like in college. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was always Princess Leia. Now I did have the days where I would have loved to have been Han Solo for a day. It would have been nice, but you know, whatever. But, you know,
sorry, girls felt that way.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was fun to play a character and not be pigeonholed into the damsel in distress, and be able to like go toe to toe with the guys and yeah, and it was something I think like Katie had always stuck with me as how to carry yourself and yeah.
I think it's always interesting. You meet people and you wonder, you know, how do we become who we are? Is it sort of that we're born that way? Is it sort of that, you know, there's these influences? And I think there has to be some truth that there's influences that, you know, get into us and help become who we are. And something about, as silly as it sounds, the stature issue with how small she was, really, in watching her stand up to everyone, I know that really resonated with me. I was, you know, always really small, and, you know, sometimes that could make you feel like, oh, you know, I'm littler than everybody, and somehow just the idea of her being there in my head and everything, I never had that, and you really do see the, you know, face up to everybody, and actually as an actor, when you think about doing Leia's voice, it really helps to stick your, because she's always talking up to everybody, but, I think that, you know, those influences, and that's one of the reasons why I love science fiction, and that's what I loved growing up reading and all of that. It gets into who you are, and I think that something like Star Wars and Princess Leia is just such a good influence. Yeah, that, you know.
I agree. I think science fiction has some of the best female characters ever written.
Yeah.
It's just as a genre, I think.
How much do you think is due to Leia? How much of that? I mean, I think she was one of the first, really.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of earlier science fiction heroines.
Ursula K. Le Guin, I'm not sure if that's how you say her name. She has a lot of great female characters, which were really
good. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you think
of the books.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Book Hero was right up there, too.
But maybe first sort of on screen where you really saw it come to life, and you could watch it over and over again.
Also, Jenny, I think it's a Gutter in yeah. Logan's Run.
Okay.
Also, was toe to toe with him and went through the whole thing with him. So.
But the sci-fi world definitely somehow allowed, maybe because it's space and it was supposed to be the future or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it really allowed you to be
allowed to go on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And on the flip side, you know, not emotionally, but even just, like, professionally, I mean, we're obviously all professionally involved in Star Wars in some way. So I was just kind of curious, you know, if anyone had stories about how, you know, not necessarily just Leia, but Star Wars in general, since she's part and parcel of that, has affected how you got to be where you are today.
Well, can I do a little spin on that question?
Yes.
Or answer that spin? I wouldn't say she, like, being a fan of Princess Leia and Star Wars affected how I got to my profession, but I know every day I use her as an archetype to do my job. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great that George created this wonderful, empowered female character who's also feminine and feisty and carries a blaster and is also a politician. She's a friend. She's a good friend to Han and Luke. And she's just, there's so many wonderful characteristics that she has. And that's the archetype that we use for female characters when we're making Star Wars. And when we do Rebels, when we do the new movies, that's where we start from. And so it's just great that she's our model. And we don't want to, I never want to, you know, go below how high George set the bar for her. And it makes it you know, we have these conversations all the time about the kind of women that we portray in Star Wars, and she's just the model that we go to.
Absolutely.
So I just, you know, sometimes working in story groups a bit like being an archaeologist or an art historian, you're always looking at what George did and trying to, like, extrapolate what the deeper meaning was or what, you know, what he was trying to say there. And you're, mm-hmm. and you're always looking at every scene, every line of dialogue, and what did that mean? And so we're always, as we continue to tell stories about Leia and other characters, we're trying to use that as a model. And she, I just, you know, as a character that doesn't really exist, you know, I think her every day.
And I use the characters for Star Wars kind of in the back of my mind, because it's, you know, I don't write Star Wars, but I do write My Little Pony. And I kind of, in my mind, have a cast of who's who in the Star Wars universe as My Little Pony characters. Because they're the characters that I'm way more familiar with. And Princess Leia is actually a combination of Twilight Sparkle and Applejack. And I kind of piece her out into those two characters, like her characteristics. R2-D2's pinky, by the way. I have that going on in the back of my mind. But I use my love of Star Wars in, you know, my professional career a lot. But just working for Lucasfilm, you know, doing license work for almost 10 years, mm-hmm. I mean, has opened a lot of doors for me. And both in, you know, my professional life and my personal life, just I've met, you know, some of the best friends I've ever had in the Star Wars fandom, and then I've just, sometimes it's like, oh, I'd really like this job, and they're like, yeah, well, you might be okay for it. I was like, I worked for Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, there you go. Obviously, you were somewhat competent.
Yeah, I mean, speaking for myself, I think it's actually been a very direct influence for me. I think that, you know, I grew up as a fan of science fiction, but I think that was largely because of Star Wars. I think if it hadn't been for Star Wars, that probably wouldn't have been the case. And, you know, I also always loved to read, and so when I was going out, to find a career, I wound up in science fiction publishing, which directly led to the job I have now. And certainly, I mean, I was in New York publishing, and I'm a native New Yorker, and there's absolutely no way in the world I would have moved to San Francisco to take this job if I hadn't loved Star Wars so incredibly much. And I'm finally, like, actually having, you know, professional dividends to spending my entire life obsessing about Princess Leia. You know, like, sometimes if, you know, we're working on a scene or a story, and, you know, I just try to approach it the way I think Leia would approach it, and it usually works out pretty well from what I hear, and so that's just, like, really satisfying for me. So I wanted to talk about, like, what is it about Carrie Fisher that makes Leia so great? Would the character be as awesome if she were played by another actress? What qualities do you think that Carrie brings to the role beyond what the writing and the directing do?
Her smartass.
Well, that's in a dialogue, though.
Yeah, but she is that, too. I think you can't, and you could probably attest to this, too. I think her own personality conveys that much better. I think there it could have been written in there and come off so flat if someone didn't have the natural rhythm to deliver. I think that helps a lot with her character.
She has a confidence that you just can't ignore. And I'm not really sure about what was going on at the time, but even today she would still be somewhat a little bit against the grain of what would be like, ooh, who's going to be the female lead for this?
Right.
She's small. She's not super busty. She's certainly adorable and cute, but she wasn't like drop dead gorgeous.
Right.
And you know, and to have that, and to let her just be, you know, strong and beautiful in her own unique way was something I would guess really resonated with the female audience. To say you don't have to be Raquel Welch or, you know, something, and you can lead the whole movie and lead the whole group.
I even recall her telling stories about how, because her face is so naturally round, she was told to lose weight because they thought she was fat and she probably could blow away in the wind anyway. She might weigh like 90 pounds. But they said her face was so round they wanted her to lose weight, and she was just like, this is all I've got. This is what the cast is it.
Yeah. Anyone on the side of the table? Yeah, I mean, obviously, Carrie Fisher brings a ton to it. There's all kinds of, and Kat can probably speak to this, all kinds of different acting techniques, but not one of the ones I read about, but I've heard that a lot of times you want your actor to just be themselves in this role, not necessarily morph into somebody else. And I'm sure when she came in to read her sides for George, it was like a combination of him having his character in his mind, but then seeing her be who she is and realizing that those two things meshing together became the character. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he had an idea of what he wanted Princess Leia to be, but when he met Carrie, you know, she brought a ton to the table. So it's you think when you see her stand up to Vader that she might actually do that in real life. Some officer pulled her over and she'd say, "Hey, what do you think you're doing?" You can imagine that she would do that. And as we see now in her panel the other day, and how she's totally feisty and crazy, and she's not ashamed of that, and she is who she is. And you know, I'm sure that was an infectious when George met her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's her personality. And, you know, the way she was back when Star Wars was filmed, like, that was maybe a 7 or 8, and she has gone right up to, like, 37 on that dial, and I can't wait to see her in that movie, because I kind of know part of that's in.
I can't wait to see her on the press tour for that.
Yes! Yes! Yes.
I hope we're
with earrings.
Yes!
Which, you know, brings me to another question is, you know, what do we hope? Obviously, you know, we hope for great things for Leia in The Force Awakens. And, you know, what do we hope for young girls to maybe get from her? I mean, the reality is that for a lot of little girls, it's just going to be like, oh, it's the old lady. But I'm sure Rey will, you know, take care of, you know, the young, awesome female lead very well. But, you know, do you have any hopes that there will be something about Leia in the new movie that young people can take away from too?
Yeah, I do hope she's not in it for like 2 minutes. I do hope she has something significant. I'm imagining, since she now, according to this trailer the other day, is fully burst in the Force now, that she gets something really cool to do. But the funny thing, in alluding to the thing about the young girls, she'll just be the old lady, but the thing is without her, we wouldn't have her. You know, you wouldn't have the Ripleys, and you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't go down the line. You wouldn't have the woman in Firefly. You wouldn't have, you know. So she started all of this, and so she's coming full circle now. So I hope she's getting a nice closure to that circle.
I would like to see her as a, when she was a role model when she was younger, as Leia breaking the stereotype of what a female should be. I would like to see her approaching middle age and older and not being an old lady. I would like the younger women to see her as something good that they can look forward to becoming. And that it's not, you know, yes, it's great to have Rey, and she's going to be wonderful, like you say. I'm sure Daisy Ridley's going to do a wonderful job. But something also, it's like, it's not over. You can become this. She's going to go from, and I don't know this as a title officially or anything, but, you know, metaphorically, she will go from a princess to becoming a queen. Mm-hmm. And take that sense of dignity that she had even at 19, even in the auditions. If you guys ever saw the auditions with her when she was young, that sense of dignity and poise. And take that along with the attitude of speaking her truth. And I'm really thrilled to see what she's going to do. I think it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I think we're all pretty confident that it's not going to be like Carrie Fisher now, like using the Force to open 80-pound bags of cat food for her 50 minutes. Although if that's what it is, I'm in. I'm still in.
The Force is strong with my kitties.
I'd be fine with that, just so everybody knows. But no, it's, you know, it's I have two daughters, so, you know, for me, it's, you know, and I, you know, my husband showed my oldest A New Hope without me. Well, I was like, so he's all stopped by and rag on him for that. And I came home, and she was like, Princess Leia's pretty awesome. And I was like, yeah, you want to go see the new movie with Mommy and not tell Daddy? So, and I know that whatever they do, they're going to give her, you know, they're going to make her awesome. And I'm really confident that she's still going to be the character that we know and love in some capacity. Or she's going to have cat tattoos or something.
I do know what she's going to do in the movie.
But I guess I'm just sure. Say.
I do too.
I guess I could just say my hope is that everyone enjoys what we've done with the character, and I feel really excited about it. So,
other cats.
So she's only saying there's cats.
I plead the fifth of the cats.
Well, you know, I'd really like to open it up to you guys. Questions or certainly just comments. I mean, we are not any more qualified to comment on Leia being awesome than you guys are, so if anyone would like to come up and just ask a question or share, you know, a memory or a story or whatever, please feel free. I think there's a microphone in the center aisle there.
Okay, thanks. I kind of basically expected, you know, what everybody has said in terms of how the character affected them. I'm just curious to ask the men in the audience, the other gender, how you were affected by the character that you were.
I'd like to speak on that.
which costume are we talking about? That's a loaded question. Okay.
I first saw Star Wars when I was 5 years old. I grew up watching silent films, and I immediately recognized that archetype, that character from silent movies. The feistiness, the makeup, the hair even. So that was immediately recognizable to me. But then when it comes to the big three characters, Princess Leia was always my favorite, because when we meet the guys, they're just, you know, they have...
Jackasses?
they're sort of aimless, right? One's a farm boy, one's a pirate. But when they meet her, they become something, right? They become part of the rebellion. You know, when all of the other characters, when she's not on screen, everyone is always talking about the princess. She is the focus of the film, right? She is the rebellion. And then... when, you know, the boys come in to try to save her, and they do a terrible job of it. They shoot the place up. And then she takes the gun, and she rescues them, right? So that's how I feel about that. But and also, I have to say, growing up, you know, being a young boy, she was always part of the, you know, play pattern. You know, there was never a problem there. She was... the focus, and she would send the boys off on the mission, right? And now what I'm seeing is for Rebels, you know, when I see the product, the merchandise that's out there, I'm disappointed to see that the girls are not featured on your products. You can't follow your action figures on there. And apparently, I guess people who are in charge of these toy companies say, well, the boys don't want to play with the female characters. See, that's really disappointing to me. That's how I feel about this. Thank you.
Any other guys who would like to weigh in similarly?
It's a race.
Can we volunteer them?
I don't know how psychology works, but growing up in Star Wars is the biggest thing in your life. And so the main female character in your play is somebody like Princess Leia. I'm sure it has a lot to do with accepting women as equals as you grow up, that sort of thing. So I'm sure that was a big help. On the other hand, you know, as a guy, when I'm 11 years old and I see Return of the Jedi, I think there's a lot of guys who like short brunettes.
I married one.
Yeah, actually. So I would just like to echo what the last gentleman said, is I'm a single father raising two young girls, 4 and 2. I just hope Disney would make Princess Leia one of the Disney princesses, so I can they're all about it, but it's almost impossible to find anything that's not geared toward the boys, you know, Slave Leia, that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
So anyways, thank you very much for all you do.
Thank you. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, what you just said in the previous commenter, because I have a brother. He's only 3 years younger than me, and, you know, he was a huge Star Wars fan too, and, you know, it's just the two of us, and we both love Star Wars, so we obviously played Star Wars action figures together, like, our whole childhood, and, you know, and like you said, like, Leia was just part of the play pattern. She was just another one of the characters. Like, my brother was never like, ew, it's a girl. Like, the only reason he wasn't playing her was because I wouldn't let him, you know? So, yeah, it is some of us share the frustration.
A Princess Leia meet and greet at Disney would require a fast pass, because that would be like a
right?
Long
time.
Oh, my gosh.
Now that Leia has been dubbed Queen, do you think that would bring, like, a stronger impact on females, like, towards her, or what? Like, what do you think?
What?
Huh? Being even higher on the royal chain, if it's even more of an influence. Is that
yes,
what you're
yes.
saying? I don't know, because I feel like her royal rank is not, I mean, it's part of who she is, but it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with how she acts. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think even if she were just, you know,
do you think, like, she would, like, have more of an input? Like, all right, since I'm, you know, I have more than you guys, you know, this is what it is, you guys go and do this.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny thing for me, no offense, I'm sorry, but Padme was a little disappointing for me.
Not in the Clone Wars, right?
No.
Because I fought against. I actively fought against that. Yeah. Padme is not a pacifist.
Right.
And for the record, a lot of the bad situations she ended up in were orchestrated by someone.
That's true.
She wasn't just falling into them. But,
right.
But yeah, I mean.
But yeah, in the films, after growing up with Princess Leia, and I mean, even granted, in Jedi, she kind of sort of fell off to the side a little bit, but after growing up with that, we get to see her mom. We're gonna see where she gets it from, and it's
I did like her a lot in the Phantom Menace for that. I like that she was running around with a gun in the battle.
Phantom Menace,
yeah, that made me feel good about it.
It felt like there was more of sort of that Hollywood influence on those films, and trying to make the female character what they think a female character is supposed to be. A little bit than there was with Leia, which was just like this character that was what George wanted her to be, which wasn't necessarily
right.
What the studio wanted, or
right.
You know, they said you need to have this and you gotta have this, and she has to be happy again in at least one scene, you know,
right. Yeah.
Which I know did happen eventually, but
right.
Not.
Yeah, but with that first movie, I mean, no one thought it was going to make any money anyway, so
yeah.
It's not like there was that studio
yeah.
pressure,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Yeah, for me, with Leia being a queen, I would think it would be more of almost a story device for her, because she would probably have more diplomatic concerns and things like that, that she's trying, you know, people come to her for help, and she's like, I'm sorry, I can't, but being Leia, like, when the doors are shut, she's like, all right, come here,
know, like throw it all down low and still be the rebel that she is, which is what, you know, I would imagine her doing, not sitting back and going, eh, not my problem anymore.
I will say I am hoping. I am hoping we get some of the Empire banter in this new movie.
No, thank you very much.
And then I just want to punch somebody and lay my flat. Or lay a punch. Or throw a cat at them. Also fine.
Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. In the last few years, as the conversation about rape culture has grown and become an everyday phrase, I've started to look at Leia's bikini in a new light, and I've grown more and more concerned about the ways in which, you know, this image of a woman who's a prisoner and a sex slave has become fetishized, and it's on. I mean, granted, yes, I mean, you know, what people do in their own boudoirs in terms of fantasy, I mean, that's cool, that's, you know, consent, that's great. But the ways in which that the image of that outfit, that sleeve, sex slave, you know, outfit, is on merchandise. And, you know, you see her, there's official merchandise out on the floor with her, like with a surfboard, as if this is what she would choose to wear. And I'm wondering if you all have similar concerns, if they've been impacted more recently by the national conversation about rape culture, and ways in which we can get Leia back from this fetishized, overly sexualized, misrepresented image.
For me, I think she took herself back the second she wrapped her chain around his neck and jumped out. And then he went up on the top and started shooting everyone with the giant game over, we're done.
Yeah, she's, I mean, I think that what you're talking about, for me, it doesn't come from the movie, because if you look at the way Carrie plays it, there's nothing subservient about her. Mm-hmm. There's nothing sexy about her. She's not holding herself in any kind of alluring way.
Absolutely. And I'm not talking so much about the...
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I'm talking, right, it's become co-opted.
Right. Like, I just question...
I know what you're saying. This is very difficult. It's a thorny topic for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here I go saying things I probably shouldn't have, but whatever. Sorry, my life. I was at... This was like a couple months ago. We had a bunch of the guys from Marvel at Lucasfilm, you know, talking about feature stories, and we were out at dinner. I was the only woman at the table. There was about 10 of us. And I don't remember how it came up, but, you know, we were talking about, like, representations in art, you know, with the bikini and everything, and, you know, it's a gorgeous outfit. Like, I like looking at it as, you know, a costume, and when women want to wear it, like, go for it, man. Like, you should wear whatever you want and be comfortable in it. But we got into this big argument about the idea of, because there's a sort of like fan idea out there, this little fantasy that like after they're done with Jabba, that like Han would see Leia in her bikini and think it was hot. And I'm like, why would he think that's hot? Like, this is like a symbol of this degradation that she had to undergo for him. You know, like, I would assume that the thought of like the woman he loves being chained to Jabba the Hutt would repulse him. He wouldn't find it hot. And like every man at the table was like, what are you talking about?
Something I always really appreciated is that Han is still blinded, and in the movie,
but there's this idea of what happens after.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think some of it just comes down to a fundamental difference in the way men and women see certain things. They're from Mars, we're from Venus.
I think taking the character, though, for what she is and what she stands for is the best defense against all of this, because the worst thing that women should do is see themselves as victims, and the most empowering thing that they can do is not see themselves as victims.
Right, exactly.
And not think that the world gets to tell them who they are and what they can do and what they can be and who can treat them badly and who can't treat them badly. So the best thing to teach girls is to say, you know, you have value and you have the right to tell people how to treat you. And if you don't like the way that someone's treating you, then you tell them to, you know, take a hike. I was trying to think of a nice thing to say.
And on that note, that same note, the best thing to do is to teach little boys to treat them. Women can scream until they're blue in the face that we deserve equality, but it is up to men to change the way men act towards women.
I think to some extent, but I still think that at the end of the day, we really are the own masters of our own lives. And I'm not saying that there aren't situations that happen when you obviously don't have control, but I still think that we all have to change the way that we view ourselves and we hold ourselves, regardless of what other people are doing, because we can't control that, you know? And you're gonna be around jerky women, you're gonna be around jerky guys, and you have to be able to say, no, you can't talk to me like that, you can't treat me like that, and if you're going to, I'm going to not be in the situation. And I mean, obviously some situations require outside assistance, especially for little kids, but I just know that being taught, you know, by my parents, like, you stand up for yourself and you stand up for what's right, and that's one of the reasons I love Star Wars. You know, it's about, like, standing with your friends for what's right. And then you can't go wrong. And so, you know, I got kicked out of class when I was really little for, like, talking back to a teacher. But he was being really mean to a kid that was very sort of meek. And so when my dad came to pick me up, he wasn't mad at me. We went and got ice cream.
But, you know, it's unfortunate when images like that get fetishized, like you're saying, and co-opted. I know that wasn't George Lucas's intention. He has, you know, three daughters. He has a lot of respect for women. And then I will just add that there's a lot of women behind the scenes at Lucasfilm now, and we're looking at all the content that we're doing, and we're working with exceptional men that see women as full individuals, as Gareth said today at his panel, as a person, not just a woman or a man, or but a person. And so I would just say, feel encouraged by everything we're doing now and the way that we think about women inside the company. I think it comes from a very wholesome and empowered place. And, you know, things turn into what they do once they leave our hands at times, but that's not our intention.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Reed Pop, who I think has been so great, you know, at New York Comic Con and here with their Cosplay Is Not Consent posters. Yes. Obviously, this is an environment where we're going to have a lot of women dress as Slay Leia, and they should be able to dress that way and feel confident and look awesome and not, you know, have to deal with anyone thinking that it's an invitation for anything. So, really, really happy.
I have seen four dudes dressed as Slay Leia. Yeah. They did not look great.
You know,
they owned it.
The comment a little earlier about, you know, we need to teach little boys. This is a great teaching moment because there's nothing in these movies that makes that to be a good thing. There's nothing that indicates that Leia really secretly likes it, you know. And it's a good time for both boys and girls to take an opportunity. So what do you think Leia felt about that way? And was it a good thing that Jabba did this? And, you know, whatever. And just, you know, whatever gender your child is, to get them thinking about that. No, that's just not the way you treat people. And people do not like to be treated that way. Thank you.
Hi. First, I just want to say thank you for having this panel, because I came out in January of 78, and Star Wars was the first movie that my parents took me to. Okay, I was the drive-in and I was this big, but it left an impression. I was the only girl growing up on my block. I was the only girl on the boys' water polo team. Leia, I've been saying for years, Princess Leia is a big reason about why I am who I am today. And she ran. That was a different IP, but I still have to give her rights, and my mom, which can also, though, when you're growing up, hard for the mom when you have your own mind. But and thank you for for making Amidala better in the Clone Wars. She was great in Phantom Menace, but then I totally agree with Kat that in the episodes 2 and 3, I was just like, slap him in the face! He just told you he went and he annihilated a bunch of people and you're just gonna pat him in the back? I don't get it. But, so Princess Leia is awesome, as we've all discussed, but I did want to mention also, if we were talking about Carrie Fisher, and I was thinking maybe you could answer this a little bit better. She is royalty, in a sense. She came from Hollywood royalty, and I think that might have been, I mean, not that she, her smart ass and her delivery really sold the character and is a big part of why we love her, but at the same time, she was able to hold herself, you know, in that way, and she had already had like a kind of a persona publicly known that she came from Eddie Fisher and I'm blanking on Debbie Reynolds. Thank you. And I mean, like, and Elizabeth Taylor for not so great, awesome, you know, reasons were affiliated. I mean, like, she grew up as royalty in a sense, and so I was wondering if you guys could comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely contributed to her poise that she has. She did grow up in the spotlight. You know, she had already been performing with her mom and, you know, done other things before Star Wars. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I love about Carrie is that she's so unpredictable and she's so just, you know, I want to say crazy, but I mean that in a good, you know, wonderful way. Where you just don't know what you're going to get with her, and yet, you know, like at her panel, you know, she's like, she's coming on the couch, she's rolling around on the floor, and yet somehow she still always has this, like, dignity underneath. There's this, like, you know, there's still this, like, poise to her that is just, like, incredible, and I think it does come a lot from her upbringing, where you know that eyes are always on you, and you're supposed to behave in a certain way, and I would assume she, you know, internalized that.
I like the idea of dignity and poise while you're rolling around. On the floor.
Oh, and also I have one of the Princess Leia as a Jedi action figures, which was super hard to find. I've been collecting like all the female Star Wars toys forever because somebody had to do it. But just as a note, they think the guys don't want to. The toy makers have been wrong before because they didn't make very many Boba Fetts or Darth Vaders because they thought kids didn't want to play with the villains, but we all know that's wrong now too. So I think they need to reanalyze, make some more girl action figures because I'll buy them and I'm sure I'll increase your profit margin just for myself. But I will buy them for all the boys I know too. Thank you.
So as you can see, I'm also a short girl, and I just want to say, I'll take the microphone off, that I wanted to echo Christy's comment, because when I first saw Star Wars when I was 11, I was 4 feet 8 inches tall, and I've grown 2 inches since then, so I definitely appreciate that she gave me something to look up to, and I wanted to go back to, there was a comment before about Leia making it okay to be feminine. Because I think that's super important, because while, you know, strong characters like Ripley are awesome, one of the things I love about Leia is that she is girlish and feminine. I hate the expression, I'm not like the other girls, because that means that the being a girl is bad. And I just wondered if you could comment more on that, and like how other Star Wars characters, like maybe Hera or Sabine, are now doing that as well.
Well, that's actually something that I won't say wrestle with, but is on my mind when I write any female character. I think there's a trend now to say that, you know, there's almost this cliche of what a strong female character, quote unquote, should be. And a lot of times it's, you know, just, they're basically guys with boobs. And if they act like guys and they think like guys and they like what guys like and whatever, and it's like, well, how is this a woman, really? And it's interesting because I sometimes get criticism. Some people think I'm way too feminist and some people think I'm way too misogynist, and I'm like, that's a really cool thing to be able to do, to cover both of those spectrums.
but I like exploring how you can be capable and strong and a good strategist and a good fighter and all these other things that we typically think of as being male properties and still be a woman. And what does that exactly mean? What does that look like? How does that manifest?
It's meant a lot to me as an actress playing those two characters, and I talk about it all the time. Why I love playing those characters is because if you make it seem like in order to be a strong, formidable woman, you have to be one thing, and you can't like dresses, or you can't, you know, like wearing makeup or something, then all you're doing is saying that there's something wrong with that. The point is supposed to be is that there's nothing wrong with being who you are, and, you know, growing up and being someone who wants to be strong and maybe wants to shoot a gun and, you know, is willing to kick a bad guy's ass, but also that you might want to, you know, put on a dress sometimes and look pretty. Having that combination is so rare in media. And so Star Wars has just been, as a franchise, the best about having these characters who are both. And it's really important because there's nothing wrong with, you know, being both or one or the other.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's something kind of great about the, you know, the image of Leia in the first movie where she's running around and she's dirty and she's carrying this gun and she's wearing this, like, you know, beautiful white dress.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what she's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
It's irrelevant to her being awesome.
Yeah, I would just say I think we try to avoid making any kind of singular representation of any kind of character and allow the character to be what the story is asking of us. And sometimes that character, like a Hera, for example, is very maternal in a way and kind of takes care of the crew of the Ghost, but she's also the pilot and the leader, and a leader in a lot of ways. And when we were coming up with that character, that made the most sense to us. Same thing for Sabine. We wanted a character that could be kind of a handy, like, weapons expert kind of a character, and we wanted another woman on the show, and so we're like, let's have the woman on the show we want to be the weapons expert. Like, it wasn't like we have any kind of boxes we're trying to check, and so it really comes from a very organic place, and that's why, again, I appreciate the prototype that George gave us with Leia, because she had all these contradictions already built in. It wasn't like she was one thing, that she was girly and wore dresses and was afraid to get dirty. It was like she wore dresses, but she also had a blaster. And so I think it's really easy for us to continue to do that as we create new characters, to make them whatever they want to be. And that could be very feminine, or it could be a little more butch, or whatever it is. Like, we're not going to make a rule for ourselves. And I do think there is a trend out there to make the strong female character be, like you say, a man with, you know, breasts or whatever. But that's also kind of very singular in a way, too. So I think we're just trying to create a variety, and for the male characters as well, like, not make them one thing either, and make some of them more sensitive. And, you know, you can look at Luke and Han and say, Luke is really sensitive, and obviously, and he's sensitive to the Force, so he kind of needs to be, and Han is a little bit more of a swashbuckler type. So, you know, George already laid that all out for us, so it's really easy to just continue to create variety among everybody.
I think that the fully developed character is what Princess Leia was. She wasn't the pretty princess, and she wasn't the tough tomboy. She was all of it, and I think that's the key, is to let them have the full character and not pigeonhole them into these certain pretty princess box. Or, because the thing is girls kind of get shafted either way. They're either the tomboy and they can't be pretty, or they're the pretty and that's not good enough.
And then you can't fire a gun.
Exactly. It's like, just be, and then it kind of goes with men too. They're either the tough swashbuckler smart guy like Han, or they're the soft sensitive. And the soft sensitive is always seen as the weak guy. And it's like, just let them have all of these traits and develop a full character. And that's what she was.
Yeah. That's actually kind of my question.
I also had a comment. So along those lines, I just wanted to say that it's so great for Leia to have paved the way for all these other strong female characters that were written in the vast Star Wars universe, like Scarlet Hark, who I am today, and Larry Brock, who I was yesterday, and Leonia Tavira, who I was Thursday, and I think I have a thing. But, you know, I was just wondering what the influence that Leia had on the authors. So my question was for you, Christy, specifically, just how she did pave the way. And was it because of her, or would this have happened anyway with all of these female characters like Mara Jade and Jaina Solo?
Oh, I absolutely think that that wave of women like Leia that were strong and capable and could keep their cool and still, you know, be feminine and be petite. These things that we would not associate with a strong character. I do not think that would have happened quite. I hope it would have happened eventually, but Star Wars was so massive in the public consciousness and it changed so much of what we see today. I do not think it would have happened that way. I really don't.
And also, when I was in grad school, I wrote a paper on women in science fiction, which I brought with me and I'd like you to read. Well, I would like to give it to you. Read it or not, you're busy people. I won't be offended if you don't. No, I have it here if I can bring it up.
Sure. Thank you. I love your outfit. I love Star Wars.
13 years later, it needs an edit. But I still like you.
I was afraid I was going to say. Leia created a new breed of woman, I guess I should say. Because the idol was always that dainty model. Hey guys, we have to like this. And now there's that badass nerdy chick who wants to be your equal partner and everything. And I'll forever love her just for that. She made women that a man can be proud of, not that he can show off. You know, and forever, I mean, Leia's my favorite character. And always will be, just for being a badass. I mean, and that's about it. That's what man, every man here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just two short stories. To share. My father was the one to introduce me to Star Wars at, I was 10 years old then, and I had just passed my multiplication tables. He's like, okay, let's go to Costco. So he picks out the VHS, the saga, and we go home and watch it, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, Dad, this is so cool. The next day, I go into my room, take my Barbie doll, tear off her head, my mom starts crying. So I love Leia, everything she embodies and the power that she gives women everywhere. And thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The topic of women empowerment really makes me excited. I have tunnel vision right now, so just bear with me, please. I'm an insurance professional, and I started teaching financial empowerment to survivors of domestic violence in my small rural desert town up north in the Mojave Desert. And I started to incorporate Star Wars a little bit into what I do at that shelter. And I think it's the best idea I ever came up with in terms of using Leia and as a focus point for showing these survivors how strong a woman can be, and when, I'm sorry, I got a little nervous, and when this movie was created, it really puts into perspective for them that they can be a strong woman today because there was a strong woman before. And I've also started to use the Star Wars trilogy movies in group sessions with their children that they bring with them into the shelter. And it really helps for the kids to work through those situations and understanding it as well, and it gives them a point of perspective. And I just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, what someone was doing with this in terms of the topic of domestic violence right now, with the news shedding more light on rape culture and human trafficking, and just overall violence against women, Star Wars has been such an amazing tool in these emergency shelters, and I'm hoping that after this celebration here, I can develop a little more of this program and bring it out to other cities that the small business that I work for operates in. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, growing up, I actually helped my mom raise my sisters.
And being of a different gender, it was very difficult to how to handle women, handle my three sisters. So Princess Leia was the reason why my sisters are now very strong women. And it's very touching for me because, you know, seeing them grow up in the type of environment that we grew up in, they grew up, now they're very strong. So Princess Leia to me was the role model of what women are, not what the epitome of women, but what women can accomplish when they actually realize that when they have courage, they can become invincible. Well, at least in my, you know, what I saw, and that's what I actually taught my sisters. And I'm a very proud parent of those three girls now, those women. So I wanted to share that with you, and the work that you guys do when it comes to writing for female empowerment, keep on going at, because you have no idea that you may be assisting someone else in raising the future generation of strong, empowered women.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you again.